Well, the Bible says to Israel back there, and when they got captive and to Babylon, they were taken away because of their sin of idol worship, worshiping other gods, sacrificing unto them, even their children. So God had to take them away into captivity into Babylonia. And while they're in Babylon, the Lord says to them, enjoy yourself while you're there. Plant and build and have children. Then he said, pray for the city, to prosper the city. You know, I've been praying for the prosperity of this city. I pray for every business to prosper. The people in the banks, every organization, every social organization, every business agency or organization be blessed. And our politicians will find ways, avenues, so that we can be blessed. That they'll speak for the people. Pray for the mayor. And pray for every one of us so that we would be blessed. That God wants us to prosper. Over in Deuteronomy 18, it says that God wants us to prosper that we might establish his kingdom, his covenant. Amen. That we might teach his covenant. And so it's been a privilege to be in that blessing of God. Amen? Amen? Well, we want to talk about a subject that I believe we did last time, and Pastor Steve did cover some stuff on Wednesday. You know, you could never cover one subject adequately enough to finish the whole thing. You know, I went to university for about 8 years doing various courses. Like my cousin said, the best 10 years of his life was grade 12. So, you know, but I went to school and I took different courses, you know, introduction courses and phase two courses, and third courses, the 4-year courses and special courses. But I never did finish a topic. It keeps on growing. And so we could never really finish one, you know, sermon and cover everything. So we have to go back to the different things and cover it again and remind people. I know I read 1 Peter, 2 Peter. He said, I'm writing this letter to remind you, although you know these things. So I venture that you would know all this stuff already, but you might even forget that it's going to be new again. Amen. So we're going to water the seed. Yeah. Water the seed is when you know something and somebody comes again, add some more on it, and just give you a little extra. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the joy of faith, the topic of joy. So our title that we put on this would be Cheer Up, Everybody. So we did Cheer Up 1. We're going to do Cheer Up 2 now. That'd be a good song. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Well, there's more to the kingdom of God than just natural needs, isn't there? Amen. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's spiritual things. That's something spiritual. Every one of us are righteous. Amen. When you became born again, you'll never be any more righteous than you are a million years from now. You know, I read in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and Colossians says the same thing. He repeats to the Colossians what he said to the Ephesians. He said, God chose you before the foundation of the world that you should be holy and blameless before him in love. That right now you stand righteous before God. There's nothing you've done to make yourself righteous. Jesus did it. Come on. Amen? Yeah. And that's why we can go in his presence, because of what Jesus did. And so none of us can be proud to say that, oh, I've done it. I've lived without sin here for like 15 minutes. No, none of us can say that we are perfect. We could say we're perfect in Christ. Amen. And the devil might tell you, look at all the stuff you did, but listen, we're in Christ. Amen. Come on. We look a whole lot better in Christ than we do out of Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. So it says the kingdom of God, but is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So part of our rights and privileges is having joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so rejoice, you know, we talk about rejoicing. And we'll mention that a little bit more. And Romans 15, 13, the New King James says that, chapter 15 there. You go to the next chapter, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Are you full of joy this morning?
Yeah.
And peace, it says, in believing. That is when you believe, when you really believe something, you'll have joy.
Amen.
I said, if you really believe something, you'll have joy.
Amen.
And you can't just muster up joy on your own. You got to see the word first, and then you get happy.
Yeah.
Amen? It's like if you're a drinker, you look at a bottle of wine, you might get happy a little bit looking at the bottle, but when you get really juiced up, you take the wine in. It's how it is with the Word of God. You get the Word in, then you start reacting a little bit. But I can't force you to worship, right? I mean, I could tell you to worship. Come on, everybody, let's scream out here and bless God. You know, it's better when we sing songs that reflect the Word of God, and then you have the power to rejoice and sing. That, you know, you can only shout as loud as you can only if I preach the word to you. Amen? Because I shouldn't just expect a response from you without giving you the word. You'll only shout in concert with the word. So, you know, it says, may God of the hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. So you got to be believing something. There must be something they're believing. What are they believing? That they may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we talk about rejoicing the last little while. Well, rejoice means, you know, one thing about rejoicing means that we brighten up. We cheer up. Turn to your neighbor and say, cheer up.
Cheer up.
Turn to the other neighbor and say, brighten up.
Cheer up.
So God is telling us, you know, God is telling us to I want to show you a scripture in a moment. I'll fill in the gap here. God is telling us to brighten up, to cheer up. Now, he doesn't tell you to do it on yourself, on your own, but he'll tell you in concert with his word. Because our response is to the word of God, not the human side of things. You can't rejoice looking at all your troubles. You can't rejoice looking around and all the circumstances you're in. And all the money you owe. And all the friends that love you and sing nice things about you online. But this morning, you know, we can choose, we have a choice to rejoice and cheer up on the basis of the Word of God.
Amen.
So to rejoice is not a suggestion. Rejoicing is a command of God. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when you're sad, you're going to go down. And people like to just comfort themselves in their sorrows and close down the lights and pull down the drapes. Play Hank Williams. You know, your cheating heart. I know a lot of you remember that a long time ago. I remember that. My dad used to like that song, Cry All Night, after he's drinking his beer. So there's no peace and joy without understanding. It's not going to be any peace and joy without understanding, you know, God, his word. Without standing on his word. So we stand under. So here's something, a question I have to ask you, and that is, why can we rejoice even in the midst of trials and trouble? Let me just go to a couple of scriptures here for a moment. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. In John chapter 16 and verse 33. And we're going to go to, later on, we'll go to the book of Acts. And then we'll go to Hebrews. And then we're going to go to, first of all, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 33. And then next we'll go to James chapter 1. But over here in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And that means us. Amen. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me. Well, when he's saying in me, it means in his word. Amen. The Bible says Jesus and his word are one. You know, in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning he was the same in the beginning with God. And he is the Word of God. If you read all that in there, you'll see that in there. He says, in these things have I spoken. Thank God for the spoken Word, because when the Word is spoken, faith comes.
Amen?
Amen? He said, these things have I spoken to you that in me, you might have peace. There's no peace without understanding the spoken word of God. The word that you hear. And he says, in the world, that's the world we're living in. You know, in the Psalm 23rd, it says, do we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He's talking about this world is the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 is what we're living in today. Jesus is our shepherd.
Amen.
He says, you will have tribulation. Now, that word tribulation means a whole lot of other things. It means trials, distresses, troubles, difficulties. If you understand that we're living in a world with a lot, there's a whole lot of difficulties and trials, and maybe you're going through one right now, and you're not so happy about it. He says in here, that in this world, if you're going to live in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You will have it. Now, I'm not, you know, you could just pray and say, Lord, I believe I'll never have tribulation. No, listen, as long as you live in this world, you're going to meet them. But God has given you the faith to overcome those and walk in those and go over those things. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, Jesus is telling us to be of good cheer even in your trial.
Amen.
Is it possible to be happy or just be joyful in the midst of trials? Well, yes, Jesus said it. Is it possible to live in the world without troubles? No. But God has given us his word, and he promises to keep us as long as we stay with him. Now, if you leave, the church, when we say leave the church, leave the walk with God and do what you want to do. You say, well, my life is my life. Well, really, you know, really, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. The Bible says you're not your own. You belong to God. God bought you. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, thank God he's overcome the world for us.
Amen.
That he's got the victory for us. That's why you can rejoice in the midst of your trial. Well, there's only one shouting. Somebody out there, he's got it. But we'll come back to it again. I'll come back to it again. But Jesus, didn't Jesus say, be of good cheer? Let me hear you cheer a little bit. Come on. Well, you're almost there. You're almost there. Let's hear it one more time. Well, that's good, right? Yeah. You ever hear somebody laugh, without any sound? Well, you know, you got to make some kind of noise if you're happy. Yeah. So if we go to James chapter 1, I want to say Jesus said this. Now, we believe Jesus because if he said to cheer up, that means you need to cheer up a little bit. Some of you ought to really cheer up. I know you, but your team might have lost last night. I'm looking at some people right now. But you can still laugh, amen? Because they'll come back up again. I noticed last year, our team wasn't doing very good. Now they're, you know, pretty well doing pretty good, right there, my friend? Yeah? Now we can sure know, but hey, listen, there's going to be another day coming. we don't want to cheer too much, you know? But some guys, they just rub it in, rub it in, rub it in. And they say, well, their day's coming. Did you find James? How many find James? You know, James was one of those guys there. He says, he says, James, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes. Well, I guess we can read that. which are scattered abroad. Verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. Well, when do we do that? He says, when you, not if you, when you. It means just like what Jesus said, if you live in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Even at Christmas time. I know my dad died about 3 weeks before Christmas, and I said, man, you should have died this time. Well, he went away. He called my wife and us. He said, I want you to come over, bring the girls over, and I'm going to give them an early Christmas gift. And then he went. So maybe the Lord showed him. But anyways, count it all joy when you come, if you fall into one trial. Well, that's the way some people read it, eh? Yeah. But when you come into various, that's all kinds of them. You don't just have one. I bet some of you got financial, you got a relationship issue going there. Maybe your liver's hurting. Eh? Well, we prayed for you this morning. Amen. Right? He says, when you fall into various trials. Now, you know, you can't really, it's not telling you to rejoice because the trial is coming. That would be a sick God. He's not telling you because you have troubles. He's not telling you to cheer up because you have trials. But he's telling you something else. Look at next one here. He says in here, knowing that the testing of your faith. Knowing this, the Bible says, the King James, I believe, says, knowing this. What do we have to know in order to rejoice? You have to know that you're being tested right now. Not by God himself, but the trials are testing you, whether you believe that or not. Well, one person is getting it. You know, whatever you believe, whether it's the Bible or not, whatever you believe something, it's going to be tested. You know, we're going to go through trials and see whether or not we believe something. Because I know some people, they believe in giving. Oh, man, they believe they got money. And they give whatever the access they have, just skim off the top and just give a little bit there. And oh, they give big. And some even tithe. They believe in tithing. Well, I'm telling you, I believe in tithing. And I still have money. I never run out of money yet. Amen. Since 1982. Am I rich? Yes, you better believe it. Well, the Bible says rich means abundantly provided for. Amen. That's what rich means, abundantly provided for. So I'm abundantly provided for. In fact, I put on these clothes this morning. I saw myself in a vision dressed with these clothes on. So I acted out what the Lord showed me. I laughed at Caleb one time. He told me the Lord told him to put a certain clothes on, and I was reminded about that this morning. I said, I'm just like Caleb now. Yeah. He's following the Lord in everything, even his socks. Anyway, your test of your faith is being, you know, test of your faith what does it say? Produces patience. And then what else happens about that testing? But let patience, well, you need to be patient, right? Right. How many of you are impatient when you go and get a coffee there? You know, it takes about, I don't know how many minutes, but you get mad at the people in front of you because they're taking too long. And you always want to just say, this is not a parking lot. This is a drive-through. So move along. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So this is the part where we like to get, we never just go through this. We get impatient and then we give up. When we're in trial, we get impatient and we give up. We didn't practice what Jesus said to rejoice, because he's overcome the world for us. Amen. You know, the Lord said to us, that he is our, you know, he said, I'll fight all your battles for you. And we need to believe that. Amen. And he's the one that's going to fight our battles for us. And we thank God for that. So, you know, when he said, "All the God of hope, fill you with all joy," in Romans 15, 13, fill you with joy and peace in believing. So the believing part is what you believe on the Word of God. That's why you can have peace and joy. And the peace that you enjoy can be multiplied through the knowledge of God. The more you know about God and what He do in certain situations, the more peace you have and the more stability you have in life. You know, we trust people. You know, that's written, that's over there, 2 Peter chapter 1 says that the more peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, you can experience more peace and joy. Some people might be more joyful than you simply because they just simple faith, they believe God. Amen. And trust the Word. Yeah. Some people have a hard time. They need to have a science fair to see whether the Word of God is true. You know, I've had friends who are in the medical field, and they you know, sometimes in their estimation, it's almost like, how could we ever believe that? Well, and they do. They're mesmerized. Some of them are just happy that God will work in something that you're not supposed to be healed from. Thank God for that. Amen. So, rejoice means to brighten up, to cheer up. And rejoice means, if God said, Jesus said, brighten up, that's a command. He didn't say if you feel good, if things are going well. He says in the midst of trial. Yeah. Same with James. He said, count it all joy. Consider it joy when you're going through different trials. See, you can't do that without understanding the Word. Amen. You can't just say, I'm going to muster up some joy here. Let's see. Oh, it's coming out. No, it has to be in response to understanding the Word. It's what you believe in the midst of storm that'll get you through the time. It's your believing that'll get you through. The more you understand, the more you believe, the more joy you have. The more peace you have. You can go to bed at night with peace because you know the Word. You know God's going to take care of it. So, how can we rejoice in the times of difficulty? It's because we believe, we walk by faith, not by sight. We believe the Word of God. So you can't just, like I said, do this on you, and you can do it by faith by looking at the Word and start laughing because you believe the Word. Now, it's going to take some faith. You can't wait for some kind of a feeling. You got to see the Word, and the feeling will come later. Is this troubling you? Because some of you guys look like, what is he up to? No, I'm going to show you scriptures here. I'm going to show you the Bible. Okay, this is not something I made up myself, you know. So we serve a God of hope. What does hope mean? We're anticipating something good's going to happen. That's what hope is all about. Real Bible hope means I know you don't have it now, but you're going to get it. Amen. It's like Christmas time, you know. You know what's under the tree. Yeah, right? Well, hopefully you got your socks again. We get socks. I told my wife, you can buy me some nice 100% wool. Buy me some socks. Buy me, I've got a truckload of socks at my house. And towel. I need a nice towel. How many of you would like a nice towel? When you get my age, you like these kind of things, right? You're like, you know, just different things, you know, before I want this, I want to watch, I want this, you know. But, you know, certain people like certain things. You know, I went through the malls and I don't really need anything. So I'm getting out of here. I forgot to buy my wife her gift. Anyway, so you got to believe something. Joy is not automatic. It comes from believing. So there's no reason, there's no peace and joy unless you believe something first. So what I'm trying to say to you today is that life will not always be easy, nor will it ever be pleasant. So we need to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And you know, just don't go and rehearse all your sorrows, and you're going to go visit your friend, and you're going to have coffee, and all through the coffee time, you're going to tell them how bad things are. No. But you say, but I'm believing. So we need to talk about the good things of God, right? So we said to you last time, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says that rejoice forevermore. You know, 5:16, he says, the New Living says, always be joyful. Lord, always be joyful? Well, that's what he said. When you're depressed, that doesn't help. Doesn't help anything. The MSG, the Message Bible, he says, be cheerful no matter what. How many of you don't like that version? I don't like that version, you know. So we believers need to learn how to get happy and to cheer up and be glad when we're not experiencing good things in life and when in the most difficult times. You know, as a pastor, I not just in this church, but in the community, I get to be with people who lose people. You know, last week, my neighbor across the street, you know, she just passed away. I've known her. She's been my neighbor for over 23 years. And a neighbor before that passed away. Let me tell you how many people passed away last week. No, but, you know, there's people are going through stuff. A lot of things going on. And so Jesus himself, he's told his disciples to cheer up. So no matter what happens. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself and Paul are prime examples that we ought to rejoice even when we go through difficult circumstances. In Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, let's go ahead and read that. This is Jesus, chapter 12. Paul mentions, I guess we attribute Hebrews, the book of Hebrews to Paul because we believe that it fits in there. Because of the language and the way the information that's in there. And there's no author on there. We believe this, that he wrote that because he got more trouble from the Jews than anywhere else. And he wouldn't accept anything from him. So, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Something about rejoicing. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with so great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about the witnesses there mentioned chapter 11. There's a bunch of people there in heaven. They're cheering us on.
That's right.
Right? Let us lay aside every weight. See, it's a good time to lose weight right now. Right? So lay on every weight. Those are heavy things. Things, you know, there are sins and there are weights. Sins are not necessarily, weights are not necessarily sins, but they can be if you allow it. Weights are things that you're doing or you allow in your life to slow you down from serving God. Like maybe activity, sports in itself is not a sin, and doing things, you know, hobbies and whatever, but if that gets in the way, then that becomes an idol. So sin, a weight would be something that's dragging you down, stopping you from serving where you're supposed to be. So the Lord says you need to lay aside every weight, and sin, which so easy ensnares us, let us run with endurance or run with patience, the word says. Run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Every one of us has a race.
Come on.
Everyone has their own race. I'm running my race, you're running your race. You can't compare your race with my race, and I can't compare your race with what I'm doing.
Right.
I need to be happy with my race. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. So we all have, you know, we can't compare ourselves. You know, we have our own things. So he says in there, verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus. So in this world, if we're going to finish our race, we've got to look to Jesus. We've got to look to the Word of God.
Amen.
And so Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. So Jesus is the one who gave us this faith.
Amen.
He knows how this faith works, and he tells us what to do. And he's an example of our faith. He say, who for the joy, this Jesus, who for the joy, notice this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So the only thing that you're going to endure in life, the only way to endure in life is to look, you know, beyond He had joy. He was facing the cross, but he didn't look at the cross as the end. Okay? He looked beyond. He saw, the Bible said, he saw you saved on the other side. He saw you with the redemptive rights of healing. He didn't see you in hell. He saw you in heaven instead, you know, on this side of the cross. On this side of the cross, it was pretty dark. So he had to go to the cross, and he saw beyond that. You know, when I was in AA for a number of years, I thank God for AA, and I thank God for using the program, for helping me. And I was talking to some people yesterday. I said, you know, thank God for the way God provides for us. And that made an avenue for me to find Jesus in the program. So like the Word of God, I studied the program. I wanted to know how it worked. I read all their literature and found out the guy who started it got born again and had a tremendous experience with Jesus. And I said, if he did it, I'm going to do it. And that's how I got born again, you know. But in the program there, they told us, I'm trying to tell you about the joy here. Every weekend, you know, being in addictions, because the weekend's coming. And I'm anticipating the bar, the scene in the bar, you know, everybody smoking and drinking and dancing. You know, and I'm thinking about, I'm going to hit there. I'm going to hit to the shoreline. And the landing room and the Horseshoe Tavern and the expressway lawn and do my hooby-dooby discotheque. But I never did make it there because I was passed out. Anyway, so I'm thinking about it's Thursday, Wednesday, and I'm anticipating, man, that I'm going to get there. But after I came to the, got sober and went to treatment and went to the meetings, and they said to me, they read a story there. He says, you know, once we're sober, we see through beyond the doors of the barroom. We saw at the end, we saw the people, the bottles on the floor and people sleeping on the floor, people passed out and, you know, and all that loss and all the loss and all that stuff. And as we're sober now, we see that. We see beyond the doors of the liquor store and all the bar and all the wonderful, look like they're having a great time. We see what happens the next day or during the nighttime. I begin to learn that. Then beyond that, I saw myself victorious. Amen. Amen. And that's how I got strength, by looking ahead, looking through those doors and looking beyond that. And I knew what's going to happen to me. And after some almost 50 years, I'm still looking through the doors. And I'm seeing, I saw beyond it. And I went through everything. I came to Jesus, gave my life to Jesus 100%. And some of my old pals in the program still waiting for me. They're waiting for me to get drunk. I'm never going to get drunk. I'm already drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So anyway, who for the joy that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Amen. You can only endure the hard times when you have that joy in you.
Hallelujah.
Because he saw beyond the cross. And you can start rejoicing. And here, you know, Mark Hankins used to say this to us at the camp meeting. He says, if you could actually see, if you could actually see what God has in store for you in your trouble right now, you wouldn't be looking and being the way you are right now. You would be laughing and dancing right now. If you actually really believed, you would be happy right now. You couldn't contain it, the good things that God has in store for you. Amen? You're not doing a good job right there. That's a good place to start shouting. Huh? So, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross. And we cannot endure without seeing the joy. He said, despising the shame, You know, we despise things that are evil and going to take us down. We're not going to look at it. We say, you know, we're going to get through this thing. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at verse 3. For consider him. He's telling us to consider what Jesus went through so that we can follow his example. Who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So let's not be discouraged by looking at just the cross and the troubles that surround us. We got to see beyond that. Amen? So Jesus is really an example, a prime example of us to actually have joy. He's the one that told us, cheer up. And he went to the cross. He knows, and he got the victory for us. And we got to see the victory. Another story, we can say, another example, in Acts chapter 27. We see here Paul and his company was on board a sinking ship, and there was no hope for them to be saved. Acts chapter 27, verse 22 to 25. Let's go ahead and read that. I'm going to read it with you. Acts 27, 22. Is somebody getting happy a little bit? I just, you know, feeling something. Are you feeling something down there or just kind of like your food is coming up? No? Okay, so it says, verse 27, 22, and now I urge you to take heart. For there will be no loss of life among you, but of the ship only.
Praise God.
I like that. I bet the owners were mad. But they were told, Paul says, don't go yet. But they didn't listen to Paul. You think some of you, pastor tells you don't do it, and you went ahead anyway, you lost your ship.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, listen, as a pastor, like you see me as Roma, but really there's more than Roma here. There's a pastoral gift there.
Amen.
That operates when you start respecting who I am in Christ.
Right.
That'll only work when that happens. Other than if you just say, hey, Roma. That's all you're going to get. Hey, Roma. You don't have anything. Okay? You can treat me, you know, like that. But my wife treats me as a pastor when she has to. But sometimes she tells me, just go and take the garbage out. Amen? Hey, so you sleeping downstairs tonight? No, she never says that. You know, we'll skip that story. We come back. Verse 22. For there stood me this night an angel of God. Thank God. Everybody say, angel of God.
Angel of
God. Say, ooh. Now, if an angel showed up at your house and told you, you know, hey, you go buy any car you want. Hey? And start packing your bags as you're going to Miami or you're going to go to Hawaii. I mean, you'd just be happy, an angel of God standing there. And he says, I jip you. No, anyway. So, angel of God, if he told you that, you would be happy, right? He's, oh, man, you shouldn't. What if you had an angel like that jokes around with you? Eh? Anyway, that would be an Ojibwe angel. Eh? An angel of God. To whom I belong and whom I serve. See, this angel is an angel from heaven. He's from the God that we serve. He says, I belong to God and I serve God. How many of you belong to God? You serve God? Yes, we do. We serve God. He says, this angel of God. Now, we're excited about a word from an angel, but the Bible tells us we have a more sure word than an angel from an angel. It's called the Bible. They didn't have a Bible. Like, he didn't go to his cabin and say, where's my New Testament? He didn't have it. I mean, he had barely those parchments, you know, scratched on some kind of a thing there. But, you know, we have Bibles today. We have Bibles in our, you know, wallet and whatever. We got Bibles in our apparatuses. What we got? What do you call those things? Phones and stuff. So verse 23, there's an angel stood by me this night, and he talked to him. We're happy when an angel talks to us.
Amen.
But we need to get happy because that same word is given to us. And we're not happy enough when we read the New Testament. We got the word for us. But we don't have respect enough for the word of God like we should have. You know, go to the next verse. He's saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. That's good news. Let's go to the next one. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that will be just as he told me. You know, we need to believe the words. So that's why Paul can be, that's why he said rejoice, because he had the word. Like what I'm saying, if we respect the word of God like a word from an angel, we respect the New Testament, then we're going to have joy. Amen. We need to respect the word more than we ever did before in our lives. So, you know, these guys were going down. And they're about to die. And the Bible talks about these guys, the captain and the soldiers were going to jump off the ship. And they were going to run. They were going to go and leave the guys go down with the ship. But Paul said to them, listen, Paul said this to them. He says, you can't jump off the ship. Otherwise, you'll perish. He said, the Bible says, the word of God says you need to stay on here. And everybody will live except for the ship. So don't jump off. So that word was, in that particular instance, was conditional. He says, you can't run away. And some of us want to run away from things in the midst of a trial. But God says, don't run or else you're going to lose your blessing. And sometimes that happens to people because they give out real quick and they don't have the patience and they're afraid because he said, don't be afraid, Paul. So you can't be joyful and fearful at the same time. Pick one, only one. In Philippians 4:4, Paul said to rejoice always. He's the one that said, rejoice always. James 1:2 says, the Apostle James says, count it all joy when you encounter trials. So let's practice that. We're going through Christmas. And we're going to make it to the other side. Amen? How many of you are going to stay, you know, here, or are you going to move to the other side of Christmas? Because people say, well, I don't know if I have enough money to give. All I get, don't you know how many children I have, grandchildren, and all my brothers and sisters? Well, don't give them anything this year. You say, but, you know, you got to make your choices, right? Some of you got lots of relatives. So Jesus said in John 16:33, cheer up under all circumstances. So we can do that. We can cheer up. So, you know, no sense in crying about it. And we are going to rejoice no matter what. Amen. You know, in Acts 23, verse 11, it says here, 23:11, and Paul, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of a good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness at Rome also. You know, this is after what Paul was beaten, the Lord said to him to cheer up. I mean, he's got some kind of sense of humor. Right? You just suffer, your car's crashed out and everything. And, you know? You notice that, you know, in the news there, it says that everybody over in the Toronto area, they're stealing cars, like, you know. One of them is a CVR. They can start up a car without your keys. They have some kind of little thing. You go online, on Amazon, order this little thing, and they can start your car up. Woohoo! Don't worry about them. Okay. See, so he's going to be okay in a minute. So anyway, he scared me for a second, but anyway. And he's one of my staff. So he's got his, you know, he's got beaten there and everything. But blah 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 blah. So, you know, we oh man. This we got to close up here. Thank God. Praise God. So he knows how to rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
No weapon
formed against him. Here's a good psalm for you. Psalm 37:13. The Bible says the Lord shall laugh at him. For he sees his day is coming. You know, he's talking about the devil. Those bad people, right? But we can rejoice with them. Some of you ought to get up and start dancing too. You know, it's hard to rejoice without knowing the Word of God. You got to know the Word. The Word of God. And they know the Word. You know, here, this was, I was listening to something, you know, Mark Hankins, a big name preacher in the States. He traveled everywhere. His dad, Brother Hankins used to come to his church, his dad's church. Well, his mom lost her mind, and she had a bad nervous breakdown, and she would be really sick and all that stuff. But the Lord healed her, and she didn't suffer from any of those things anymore. So every once in a while, when people, pastors and preachers will come to their church, and in fact, people will come to his church, Mark Hankins' dad's church. When he was a boy, he's like 14, 16, 17 years old. He'd come to church. Sometimes he'd bring his high school buddies home or in the church. He said, man, I hope my mom doesn't dance today. I hope she doesn't run around today, man. So sure enough, he said, mom would just get happy on the preaching. He started running and said, woo! Just take off running. And his high school buddies would say, who's that lady? He said, I don't know who that lady is. I mean, they say in a Pentecostal church, if you have to explain to people what's going on, it's a Pentecostal church. Because in Acts chapter 2, people say, what's going on? Why are these people laughing? And they say, well, this is it. What Joel talked about, right? But, you know, we can laugh by faith because we're seeing the Word. And we can rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says go ahead, be happy. Rejoice because the troubles, he solved it for you. Amen? Come on, let's go ahead and stand up in the name of Jesus. Amen? I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about all the trials that you're experiencing, that Jesus already had the answer solved for you. Hallelujah. I want you to see yourself well provided for. I want to see yourself in the Word of God. Pick a scripture and thank God for it. Meditate on it. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and just start laughing. You don't have to make a, just how you normally laugh. Smile. Thank God. Smile at Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for providing good things for us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Every need is met. Every need is met. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Well provided for. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let me just finish that story about that Mark Hankins. So his mom would run around the church, you know, people, he'd be embarrassed because his mom's, he didn't want to tell the people, that's his mom, that's my mom, that's my mom running around. You know, his high school pals. But she'd run around, And she'd been, you know, on the deathbed. God raised her up, healed her, didn't have any more of those troubles again. And, you know, she'd get happy because she didn't die and she didn't suffer any more emotional problems. And God solved her problem. And he said, you know, he was at a meeting where Brother Hagin was preaching, and he saw Brother Hagin's multimillionaire board of directors fall on the floor. They're laughing on the floor. And he's watching those people. He said, what is going on with these guys? These guys are multimillionaires. And the Lord said to him, you better go ahead and join them if you want to. You know, you'd be laughing too if you know what God has in store for you. And he said he went down and joined them. Like, you know, this is, I mean, I just told you what Jesus said. I told you what James said, what Paul said. Cheer up, rejoice. And it's something that we do in response to the Word of God, because God's got it for you. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And he said, and John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In other words, God put faith in you to overcome every trial. Amen. Every situation that comes your way. I want you to lift your hand and bless God with me. Praise God. We praise you, Lord God. Come on, lift your hand. Lift your mouth and thank him. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for meeting every need, Lord. Thank you for overcoming for me, Lord God. I'm healed. I'm blessed in every way. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. It's a good time to give yourself to Jesus. If you haven't done that, you haven't been born again. The Bible says repent. The presence of the Lord will come upon you, lift you up. If you haven't, you know, had a drink of the Holy Ghost in a little while, just go ahead and take a drink. Amen. And if you're doing it for the first time, you just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I'm repenting. I'm turning to you with all my heart. Let God save you. Let him do it. Father, I pray for every person here in the name of Jesus. And I pray that healing belongs to each one of them. Those that are watching online and those that will hear this message. I pray from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I rebuke every foul sickness and disease. According to the Word of God, I command you to be healed. Because God says, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. You will live and not die. Live a long, healthy life. Be strong. I pray strength will come inside you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I pray that every assignment against you is canceled today. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And that you will succeed in your endeavor, in your job, in your projects. And everything you set your hand to is blessed in the name of Jesus. Let's sing that one more time as we close in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. And I am free in Jesus' name. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
joy.